We would like to welcome everyone for the gospel meeting tonight. Maybe we could start by singing number four, hymn number four. Could someone raise the tune, please? Together. Our God and Father, we like to thank you for this occasion to share the gospel tonight. And we just pray that there would be joy in heaven tonight for one soul that repents. We ask it, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We turn to a scripture in Luke chapter 15, the Gospel of Luke chapter 15. Starting in verse 3. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he laid on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. You know, we have prayed that the Lord would visit tonight by bringing a conviction of sin. You know, I could talk until tomorrow morning, but if the Lord doesn't work by His Spirit, it will be in vain. You know, the prophet Noah preached in Nineveh, and his preaching consisted of 8 words. Only 8 words. And the Lord used that in blessing for repentance. Tonight I have a message with 9 words. We're going to look at a verse in 1 Timothy chapter 1. It's 9 words, I must say. But here, if we continue to read in verse 7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just person which needs no repentance. You know, it is said in the gospel that the man of Nineveh repented at the preaching of Noah. You know what they did? They listened to the message and they acted upon it. So tonight we're going to open the Word of God. We're going to read some scriptures. And we pray that there would be one person that would repent. Tonight that message is addressed to all, but it is especially for the one person who is not saved among us. And you know who you are. And the Lord is searching for you tonight. You know, the shepherd here, it is said that he goes after that sheep until he finds it. Oh, the Lord is knocking at the door of your heart tonight. He wants to bless you. He wants to bring forgiveness, bring you peace. So I brought a few things with me here. I brought the gospel hat with me. Do you like my hat? Would you like to touch it? This is my gospel hat. You know, maybe 7 years ago, I was driving my car to a gas station. And as I was filling the tank, you know, I saw something on the floor covered with slush, you know, with ice. And it was quite dark, quite dirty. And it was hard as a piece of wood. It was in the winter time. And I saw that. I said, oh, my, it looks like one of those, you know, Peruvian hats. I said, I like this hat. So I used to work in a garage when I was a student. And, you know, at the end of the day, we would clean the parking lot a bit. And if I would have found something, I would have put it in the garbage. I said, no way. I said, this is not going in the garbage. So I took the hat, threw it on my trailer, and then left. A couple of days after, I said, oh, I have something in my trailer. I took that hat. And believe me, again, it was hard as a piece of wood, dirty, good for garbage. But I said, I think I can do something for it. So I washed it. And I have witnesses, it's very soft now, very nice. And 2 days ago, I was raking leaves and it was a bit cold in the morning. So I wore my hat. It's very useful. You know, I use that as an illustration that we are all sinners. Just like that hat that was dirty, it had no use. You know, the clerk that was working at the gas station would probably have thrown the garbage at the end of the day. But I saw something special about that hat, and I just took it. And gave it another life. This is what the Lord wants to do with you tonight. He wants to save you. He wants to wash you. by His precious blood. That's what He did in my life 48 years ago. That was the most important decision I made in my life. I hope it will be for you tonight. Let's turn to a verse in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. 1 Timothy 1:15. Toward the end of the verse, it says, Christ Jesus, who came into the world to save sinners. 9 words. I would like to talk tonight about Christ Jesus and sinners. But what I would like to do is start with the sinners part, you know. We need to realize that you need a doctor when you realize that you're sick. The scripture says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, last Thursday night, I was again at a gas station, filling up my car again. You know, these cars, they drink, it's incredible. And, you know, filling the tank. And then there's a guy there that was there with his bicycle. And then he opened the, you know, he was looking in the trash there, trying to find some cans, you know, to go exchange them for money. So the guy looked at me, he says, "Would you have a bit of change? You know, I'd like to go eat hamburger at McDonald's." I said, "Go to McDonald's, I'll meet you there." So I finished what I had to do and go meet him at McDonald's. And as the guy was eating his hamburger there, I started to talk with the guy. You know, I was thinking about that hat. And this guy reminded me about that hat. You know, this guy looked in bad condition. His hands were all dirty because he was, you know, digging in the garbage to find cans. And this guy didn't have a home to stay. He lives in a tent in a park. So this guy lives a miserable life. It's just like my hat when it was like on the ground, all dirty. So, you know, as I was at the restaurant with the guy talking with him, I talked to him about the Lord Jesus. His name is Stefan. And you know, I said to Stefan, "You know, we're having a gospel meal on Thursday night, and I'd like to invite you." He said, "I'll be there." He said, "I'll come and pick you up next week at 5:00. He says, "I want to go there." So we'll see next week. If the Lord has not come, maybe this guy will come. So this guy doesn't have money, is probably addict on something. That's what I suspect. Poor guy. Begging, you know, for money to eat. This guy is a real sinner, we would say. A couple of weeks ago, I met a guy. I bought something, you know, through Marketplace, and I met the guy, and I meet him, and this guy has a nice car, a Porsche. Beautiful home. A guy who's, he let me know that he was wealthy. Rich man. And I talked to the guy. Then I tried to find an open door to share the gospel with him. So he explained to me that he was a good man. He was a good man. Oh, I said, "Well, we're all sinners." I mentioned some of the commandments of the law. I said, "Oh, no problem with me." Okay. But this man, according to God, is a sinner. Although he said to me, "You know, I give money for this and give money for that." You know, there's a verse in Isaiah chapter 64 that says that all our righteousness are like a dirty rag. Dirty rag. This man, you know, he's got everything he wants in this life, materially speaking. This man is doing good things with his money. But according to the Lord, his good deeds are like a filthy rag. So I have here, I brought with me a filthy rag. That's quite filthy, eh? What about if I wash this this tray with that? Eh? I saw some people washing trays there, but I want to make sure that I cover it very well. And here I have a lifesaver. I'm going to put it there. Would it be presentable? What do you think, young lady? No, you're right. Would you eat that lifesaver? No. I agree with you. You know, for a person to say, I'm doing good works, and one day I'm going to present it to God, God cannot accept it. Because God is holy. We are sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We are sinners because we were born sinners. We are sinners because we practice sin. You know, there is a man who was born in 1800. He went to be with the Lord in 1881. And he was a man who loved the Lord Jesus. He wrote many books and he traveled a lot to serve the Lord. Some of you know what I talk about. So one day, one person said to him, it is said that one day a person asked him, could I take a picture of you? He said, if you would turn to Romans chapter 3, you would get a better picture of me. So let's turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. You know, if we are to compare one to another, we might say, well, I'm not such a bad sinner. Oh, I sin, but not as much as the other one. So we could try to compare each other. But you know, brought a flashlight here. So if the light of God comes and reveal what's in my heart, it's a different story. It's not comparing with one another, but it's letting God with his light reveal what's in my heart. And you know, we have a good description in Romans chapter 3 of the condition of the human nature. So I would like to read it. It's in chapter 3 of Romans. I'm going to start with verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are under sin. Under the domination of sin. Verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongue they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way. In the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. My friend, this is the picture of our hearts before God. Or maybe it's not concentrated in one person, but this is what we are before Him. You know, if we are to come before God one day in that condition, we cannot be accepted. You know, it is said that it is appointed for men to die once and then there is judgment. You know, you may think, well, people who die are only in their 90 years old. Not true. You know, where I live in Montreal area, there were kids playing in the backyard. And they were having a great time. And then a car lost control. The guy was drunk. And he went through the fence there and killed those two kids. I knew a lady one day. They were traveling on the 401. And the father was transferred from Toronto to Montreal for Air Canada. And at some point, you know, they were traveling and then they stopped to a rest area. And then the two girls at the back said, why don't we exchange sides, you know? We can see different sceneries, you know? And they did that. And as they left the rest area, they were hit by a truck. And the young lady that was sitting on the left, she was killed. And the lady said, why did it happen to me? You know, it comes so suddenly. We don't know. But we need to be prepared to meet our God. I lost a very close friend, dear brother. He was 40 years old. Three young children. Are you ready to meet the Lord? Could it be that there is somebody here, a person who could quote to me John 3:16 by heart? And yet you know that you have not responded to the knock of the Lord Jesus? You may know many things in your head. Did it sink into your heart? So important. You know, we are sinners by nature, sinners by practice. But there is such a thing as the goodness of God that leads to repentance. God knows that we are in that condition. And He has provided a way in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ who came to save sinners. You know, we spoke about the good shepherd giving his life for his sheep. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's the only way we can be accepted before God is by recognizing, first of all, that we are sinners. And to accept God's remedy, His perfect sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. I made this choice 48 years ago. It was the best choice of my life. I hope tonight you'll make that choice. Just to receive that free gift of God. I'd like to turn to, our time is flying. I just want to turn to a verse in Ephesians chapter 2. I'll just read from verse 1 to 4 or to 5. And you had he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. You know, we were dead in our sins. And then God, who is rich in mercy, undertook You know, the Lord is knocking tonight. Knocking at the door of your heart. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, at some point, God asked a question. He said to Adam, "Where art thou? Where are you?" You know, Adam hid himself. And he was afraid. You know, when you go to bed at night, are you afraid? Are you afraid to meet God one day? You know, all judgments have been given to the Lord Jesus. And one day, he will judge everybody. I don't fear that day because Jesus Christ took my judgment. He bore my sins on the tree. He who knew no sin, God made him sin, may become the righteousness of God in him. You know, God is at work. You know, I remember one day I was maybe 19 years old. There was a guy that I used to give a tract about the gospel once in a while. And one night he said, "I'd like to come and have a coffee with you." So he just showed up. And so for maybe 1 hour and a half, he asked me a question about the Bible. He started with Noah, then he went to Abraham, and then he knew a little bit. But he had so many questions, so many questions. And I was with a brother then. And I was a new believer at the time, so I tried to answer the best I could. I would turn to the scripture and, you know. So after 1 hour and a half of argumentation, he said, "Okay, now, how do we accept Christ? How do we do that?" So I was with a brother. He said, "You must be joking. You're not serious." He says, "No, no." He said, "I didn't sleep for 2 nights, and I need to settle that tonight." So I'm asking, maybe there's a person here tonight who maybe is not too comfortable at this gospel meeting, because maybe it's speaking to your conscience. Maybe it's telling you that you have the appearance of being a Christian, but maybe it's not real in your heart. Again, the Lord is knocking. I see that our time is is over. Let's pray. Oh, our God and Father, we pray that you may bring an arrow of conviction tonight on a soul that has not repented yet. We ask it, Father, In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.